been churning over and over. Because I got up and talked about things afterwards, but what you value, you will protect. And I looked at that and I thought, even when he said it, man, it just fitted in so well with just knowing God. And if we have a relationship with God, we want to protect that. But I want to expound on that a little bit further and go through some things. You know, the value of something is what we put a worth to. And if we look at worthiness of God, if we say, you are worthy, you know, he's been made holy, acceptable, righteous, but he was made worthy. And that worthy is a worthiness or a worthiness. And we need to understand that that worthiness is an absolute extreme value. If I get a valuation on my property and they say it's worth X amount, they give me a written valuation, that is the worthiness of that property. That is the worthiness of that property financially. We look at that, but when we look at God, when Jesus was made worthy, that worthiness has an intense value. What did God say about it? What value did God place on the life and the offering up of his son? You know, he says his only begotten son. And what that particular event meant to the father. Incredible. The value was a declaration of worth. And I'm probably following this a little bit different to the notes up there, so I'm going to switch notes at the moment and get back onto that one. But we've got to understand where worth in our lives is as far as God is concerned, because it is important that we get hold of that ourselves and know exactly what we're doing with our worthiness and our worthiness. Number one, he's made us worthy as well. We've got to start to look at what value there is on that as well. Worship is an area that is an expression of worth. You know, if we value God, we will want to worship him, because it's worth-ship. Yeah, I don't know if you understand that, but the word worship is worth-ship. If it's valued to the point where you want to spend devotion and time and expressing your praise, our worshiping of God is an expression of our value of God and the worth of God in our lives. And we express that in worship. Today we've had an amazing time there where we've just expressed worship to God in both song and in word and free expression as it's gone. And I tell you, it really does show how much we value God if we're free in that region. If we're not, please just get on your knees and say, God, the blood washes whiter than snow. I need to value my life with God above all else. And if it's something I value, it's something I will protect. I'll guard it. I'll look after it to the point where I cannot allow anything to deplete it, to diminish it, to take from it, or to distract me from it. It is too important to me because I value it so highly. He's worthy to receive glory, all honor, all power, all praise, all adoration, all devotion, every possible aspect and expression of who he is. Now let's not, you know, when you put praise into it, we praise God for what he's done. I praise God for the salvation of my life. I praise God for the healings he's given me. I praise God for the blessings that are in my life. I praise God for the way he has done so much. And I thank him for that, because it's works that God has embedded into my life that I am so grateful for. And I praise him for his mighty acts, the Bible tells me. Praise him for his mighty acts, which is good. But when it comes to the person, God himself, that's worship. And in some of the songs that are around, we see so much of it is, you know, it expresses one or the other. Thou art worthy. We're talking to God. We're expressing who He is. But then there's other songs like, I'm a new creation. That's a praise song. That's something He's done in me. He's made me different. And we have expressions of who God is in songs sometimes where we're just telling others the goodness and the greatness of God. But then when you get songs that express what God is and who He's done through what He is, even that song like, Oh, the Blood of Jesus, it's part of who He is. He poured that out for us. It was His life given as an expression of His value for us. Whoa, really? Yeah. That's how much for God so valued, if you want to put it that way, the world, with love that He gave. Boy, we're going to understand that of God. Once we do, we begin to understand how great He is and how much we can lift Him up in worship. But you know, if God means that much to us, we will protect everything about what God has done in our lives as well. It's to be valued. It's not to be taken lightly. It's not to be taken flippantly. It's to be valued. I value who my God is in me. I value that Christ is in me, the hope of glory. And I want to see that value come out in an expression of who God is, showing that value to others. It's important. It really is. I want people to know how much I value my God. It's interesting, when we're at the Church of Christ years ago, there's a family there, and one of the little girls was talking to someone else. And this was the expression she had of me. So I'm not boasting or bragging or anything. But she was saying, you know, Ken, the one that loves Jesus more than anyone else. Now, that was something she saw. I said, thank you, Lord. And it wasn't anything I said or did, but I just expressed my love for God probably better than most other people there. And she saw that. And that's the way she described me. Ken, the one who loves God more than anyone else. And I'm like, whoa. Perhaps I do, perhaps I don't. But the whole thing is, the expression showed. And it was picked up. And I think that's the way we need to have our value we have of God. And how we live and conduct our lives is a very great expression of that. Now, David wasn't perfect, as we know. But he, whatever way he could, whether this was, if you've got your Bibles or your notepads or whatever you've got here, don't just follow the screen. Get yourself into a position where you can mark your Bibles, take note of things, and ensure that it's there so that it reminds you at other in the future of times that you heard the word. There's so many times in my Bible that I used to refer to, I know where that is. It's got the right hand side of that page is highlighted in blue, or it's marked in something, you know, and I could pick verses and pages and scriptures by the way they had ministered to me. But Paul's in Ephesians 4, this is the most amazing chapter of expressing worth in our lives, the worthiness of who God's made us to be. And he says at the start, he says, I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you or beseech you or encourage you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you've been called. Isn't that incredible? He puts a value on it. And he's saying, put a value on your life in God. You've been called as a child of God. Value it. And walk worthy of that. Put a value of it in anything that you are, say, and do. And walk with that. Wow. How do we do that? In another translation, it says, I, the prisoner in the Lord, then urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling that you have received. And then he starts to talk about how that walk is expressed and what we perhaps need to do as overcomers to get these areas of our life into order. Perhaps they're out of control. Perhaps we've had them, and I've had them out of control. There's still a couple that raise their ugly heads every now and then. And I've got to discipline myself, and I've got to charge myself, and I've got to correct myself. And I've got to use the word. Say, God, your word says, and I'm sorry I offended you in that area. And I will, you know, by the precious blood of Jesus, set it aside and repent immediately. But he says to walk worthy involves this: humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love, and with all diligence to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And that's a church thing as well as a personal thing. Then he goes on and he explains some of the reasonings behind why we need to walk worthy in these areas, why they need to be valued and expressed with a value. He talks about how there's one body, one Spirit. We were called to one hope when we were called. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So we're not walking a different walk, each and every one of us. We're walking the same walk in the unity of the Spirit, in the bond of peace. So you can't come to me and say, well, I'm serving my Lord and I'm doing it this way. No. Paul's saying, hang on, there's a criteria in the Word of God that we follow, and we need to ensure that that is upheld if we value it, if we're walking with it valued. One God and Father of all, who is over all, above all, and through us and in us all. And to each one, grace has been given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Isn't that amazing? We've all got grace. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, I just haven't got the grace for that. Well, I haven't got this for that. No, wait a minute. We've all been given the same measure of grace according to the salvation of Christ, the gift of Christ in our lives. Now, my level of grace is no higher than your level of grace, and yours is no higher than mine. We have all been given that measure of grace. Isn't that incredible? How much of it is expressed is up to each and every one of us. Sometimes I'm good at it, sometimes I'm not. But I'm overcoming, and I'm getting better at it. But it's not easy. It's a discipline, amen? It's a discipline in our lives. And if we treasure and value God, and we treasure the life of his life in us, to walk worthy of that is to then recognize the shortfalls and the breakdowns and say, God, I need this corrected by your Spirit. Will you teach me? Will you show me? Will you help me to get strong in that area? And we have to do that. And the Bible tells us in so many other areas of how to overcome and how to set aside certain things, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the, quote, value of God in our lives, if you want to put it that way. Is it enhancing the value or depleting his value in the way that I am allowing things to get into my life? This is just so important. And this is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives away, and he gave gifts to men. So the gifts have been given. And what does he ascended mean, except that he descended also into the lower parts of the earth? And he who descended and overcame death and hell is the very one who ascended above all the heavens in order to bring to completion and fulfill all things. So it's this one Jesus who set the standards, who paved the way, who took care of every opposition, and who took care of every attack of the enemy through his blood. And now he's seated at the right hand of the Father in order to see that everything is functional and working and fulfilling. And so we've got no excuse. He's given us the grace. He's given us the capacity. And it's so amazing that he did that of himself. But then he gave to us the following ministry: some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And these guys were there for a particular purpose. And they're still supposed to have that same fulfilling purpose. And it says that they were to equip the saints. Who's the saints? the members of the church, for the work of the ministry. You know, some preachers think they're the only ones that are there to do any ministry. No, they are there to train and teach others to do the work of the ministry. Isn't that interesting? We can pray one for another. We can all lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. We can all minister to our neighbors. We can all go and lead someone to Christ. We can all do whatever is necessary in whatever situation we find ourselves to complete the work of God in this world and in our world and in our region and in our workplaces and wherever it might be. You can't go to work and someone at work says, "Tell me about your Jesus. Hang on, I'll ring the pastor. I'll get him to come and talk." No. We should be equipped, trained up to be prepared and ready in and out of season to do the work of the ministry, and that in building up the body of Christ. Now that's internal and external. Building up the body of Christ is internal. Pray one for another. Be kind-hearted one toward another, loving one another, praying one for another. All of that is within the framework of the body of Christ. But when you lead someone to Christ, you're also building up the church by bringing others in. So the church is growing numerically and growing stronger with more and more people following the Lord Jesus. So all of that is part and parcel of the fivefold ministry gifts to train the church to be effective. And if we value our life in God, we walk worthy. We put a worth on that life. And if it's worth living, it's worth expressing. If it's worth knowing God, it's worth telling God. If it's worth being a Christian, then it's worth sharing Christianity. It's just an expression in our lives of God in us, the hope of expressed value and glory. Amen? That's just so important. And then it says this amazing thing here. It says, until we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, as we mature and grow to the full measure of the stature of Christ. Wow. So we're being trained, we're being prepared, we're being taught, we're being equipped to become expressions of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the whole thing is there for. So he puts that there into that scenario backing what God has done and how he prepares us and what he's done for us. He says in the first few verses, walk worthy and do this in all meekness and lowliness and humility and patience. And he says, because God has done so much for you and you have had the preparation to be able to do it in your training. Wow, that's interesting. Then we are no longer children or infants tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of strange doctrine and by the teachings of cunning and clever cunning of men in their deceitful scheming. Isn't that incredible? We don't get carried away from the foundational truths of the Word of God by fads and by other sort of things that go on. We stay strong, firm, grounded in the Word of God and in the teachings of the Word, in the teachings that we've been taught and grown up in and learned in. And from that, the Holy Spirit is then able to enhance and develop that in our lives. Doesn't always mean we have to be, you know, trained and taught. We've got the foundations, we've got the principles, but we need to then get in the Word and allow the Holy Spirit to highlight that Word to us and teach it to us. Talking to Rake a little earlier about how the Hebrew language is fascinating. Every word in the Hebrew language has layers to it. And when they read it in a certain context, they know which layer and meaning it has. And the Word of God has layers to it everywhere. You know, I'm staggered at how many times the same verse I have read over and over and over, God has highlighted and made it completely new to me in another format. And it's like you're looking at this pulpit at the front here, and it's got some buttons on it and some diamond patterning and da-da-da. But if I get over here, it's also got a top on it that slopes this way, and I'm seeing it from another perspective. Or if you go out and look at a mountain range, you go and look at Hanging Rock, and you look at it from the whatever side it is, the west side, it's a sheer rock face, and you look at it and you think, oh man, no one could ever get up on that. And then you go to the front, the side, the south side, and you go, oh gee, there's a path there somewhere that winds up. And then you go to the east side and it's just all trees and scrub, and you couldn't get up there if you tried. And then you go to the north side and there's no possible way. You would think, how on earth would anyone get up there? It's four different perspectives. But then it's the same rock. And so the Word of God needs to be studied and seen from a 360 degree perspective. And every time you look at it from here, it's going to look incredible. And you go around here, it's going to look even more incredible. And then you look at it from over here, and it's going to highlight. If you allow the Holy Spirit to teach you in the Word, who he's the author, he knows what it means, you'll see the perspectives that God wanted to build into those verses and those chapters and all of the trainings and teachings that are there. His job is to teach you. He is the Spirit of truth, Jesus said. And howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. Yeah, he's not going to distort the truth. He's not going to manipulate the truth. He's going to show you the whole facets and aspects of the truth. Amen? And we've got to let him do that. We have really got to do that. Because that's where we don't get caught up in all of the nonsense of the fads in the church sometimes, and the teachings in the world, and the things that go on in the world. And I know there's so much happening at the moment out there in the world, but that's not our concentration. Our concentration is the Word. Because we've got to make a difference in the world, not just be sucked in by what the world's doing. And I just really find it so fascinating that the Holy Spirit knew what he was saying when this was written. No longer children, no longer thrown and tossed around by all sorts of different deceits and ideas. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Christ himself, who is the head. Well, you can't speak it if you don't know it. You've got to know it. Amen? That's so important. This is walking worthy, valued of the vocation we're called to. It's got to have a value to it, or we will just treat it like, yeah, I can pick it up tomorrow, no worries. Oh, you know, we can, like a toy. You know, you get a new toy, and oh, wow, it's incredible as a kid. Then you put a mark on it, or you get another new toy, and that toy doesn't have the same value anymore. And then you get some of the, we don't want to be like that. We want to be consistent and solid. I have the greatest gift of all time in the Lord Jesus. Man, he's got to take priority. He's got to be valued. He's got to be given a place of worth that I walk in that worth recognition of. It's got to show in who I am. That's incredible. So we're speaking the truth in love, growing up into Christ, because from him the whole body is fitted and held together, and every supporting ligament, it grows and builds itself up. So if we're the body of Christ and we're too busy getting caught up in all sorts of other bits and pieces and things, we can't be part of that fitting together support mechanism that the body needs to grow and develop and be strong with. It's so important that it's all held together. My left ligament decides to jump out of my leg and go run down the road somewhere. What does that do for me? It cripples me. It does. Cut my hand off that I usually write and do things with. I'm crippled. It has to be compacted by that which every joint supplies scenario in the body of Christ to walk worthy of who we are, and to see that worthiness expressed not only in me, but in who I'm attached to and joined to in the body of Christ. It's a value that is worth following in every way. As Paul said, walk worthy of it. And then he goes on and he says this, the body's built by that which is the effectual working of every part. So then he says, so I tell you this, boy, he's painted a picture of why it's necessary. in those last few bits and pieces there, what God did and how we were trained and why it's necessary. So he says, so then I'm telling you this, and I insist on it in the Lord. This is in another version, not the King James, but this, I love this way it puts this, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their own mind or their own thinking. Those that are outside of Christ think differently. Don't get caught up in it. Don't walk the way they walk. It's not your calling. You have a vocation that is stronger than that. Value it. Put a worthiness on it. Put a value to it and walk in that worth value. They're darkened in their understanding. They're alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance is in them due to the hardness of their hearts. They've lost of all sense of shame. They've given themselves over to all sorts of sensuality or lasciviousness for the practicing of every kind of impurity with a craving for more. And the word lasciviousness in the original is self-indulgence, whatever the flesh feels like it's good to do. Let's just go ahead. That's the sort of thing the world does. They have no value on God's creation. But this is not the way you've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely you've heard of him and were taught in him, and we keep the truth that is in Jesus, but we put off all the former ways of life, our old life, which is corrupted by its deceitful desires. So if there's anything hanging around, put it off, get rid of it. Everything that is not, in verse 3 and 4 up the top there, where it talks about how to walk worthy, if any of that sort of stuff is still hanging around, put it off. Put it off. Doesn't say pray and ask God to take it away. Knows that? I've had so many people, I just got this, can you pray God will take it away? And I'm going, no. That's a work of the flesh, and that's up to you to deal with that. There's a fruit of the Spirit, and there's a work of the flesh. And the works of the flesh is something God gives us the capacity to deal with. Don't go praying, God, Lord, I need to, I've still got these desires, or still got this or that going on. Can you take it away, Lord? And he's gone, I'll give you the capacity to deal with that. Put it off. Put it off. Put it off. Oh. I've got to be a disciple, disciplined in conduct and disciplined in who I am. It's a putting off thing. So we need to put off falsehood and speak truthfully with our neighbors. We're all members of one another. Be angry, and yet don't let it govern you. Don't let it control you. Don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. In other words, govern your emotions. Govern your anger. Govern your outrages. Govern whatever it is that's getting out of control. Put it off if it's wrong and take control of it. Don't give the devil, neither give place to the devil. Don't give the devil a foothold by not dealing with it. Is the full sense of that. The things we don't deal with, he will use against us. And he will use as a doorway to get in and do other things in our lives and bring us undone. Don't give him that capacity. Don't give the devil any ground whatsoever. Anyone who's been stealing, don't steal anymore. You must work doing good with your own hands that you may have something to share with another in need. So just do it with God in mind that it's a valued position. Work with your own hands. Value your job. Value the place you work at. I've had a few jobs in my life before I started working for myself. But initially I worked in a hardware shop. By the time I was there, 18 months later, I was the only person in that place that knew where every item was in that shop and what everything was used for. Someone came in and asked me for something. I could direct them to the right thing, the right part, the right position, the right tools, the right bolts, the right applications, everything. And I made it my business to excel in that. And I enjoyed it because I disciplined myself to learn things. I then became a sales rep in plastics, and I was determined to learn more about plastics than everyone else in the factory because I wanted to be able to express to the customers as I was out on the road, you're going to make what? Okay, Well, what you need is this particular grade of plastic. Oh, why can't I make it out of that? Either it's too flimsy, it's too flexible, or it'll break, or it'll snap, it's brittle. You've got to use a certain grade. Oh, okay, gee, I'm glad you told me that. I wouldn't, you know. And it was just an essential part of the business, and learning about it, I prided myself on that. I valued my position, therefore I took note and learned what I could to be able to be an expression of that business to the customers. It was important. I then started working for myself. And the first thing I did in working for myself was doing house foundations and things. And I was putting in stumps. And we had a lot of rock around the western suburbs, so I got a license and I was using explosives to blow the rock up. And I'm telling you, those houses that we put foundation stumps in, I made sure they were the best. I made sure they were right. I did not compromise at all. I saw some other stuff other people were doing, and I thought, whoa, that's going to have squeaky floors, or it's going to crumble later. That wasn't my... I wanted it spot on. And I knew the builders that I worked for, they used to chase me. You know? In fact, I had one company that I worked for in St. Albans, got a phone call. Oh, hi, I'm with RDC Homes. I said, oh, yeah. He says, yeah, but I'm in such and such an area, miles away. But I've heard of the work you're doing. Will you come and do my work as well? That's the type of expression we need, and that shows the value we put in our job. That same value needs to be in our godly walk, where people go, hey, what is it that you've got? You know, it doesn't happen often, but it has happened occasionally, and I just wish it happened a lot more. But people do express things that you, when you allow God to come through, it shows, and people are then curious. And I love that. I love that. Sometimes we're praying, Lord, I just want to talk to someone today. And we're missing open doors. We're missing opportunities because of someone's little comment or whatever. And you don't want to go, you know, jumping down their throat straight away, but you can just give them, you know, I'm only like this through the grace of God. You don't have to go on. You just give glory to God. That shows where your values are, shows where the worth of your life is based. You've got something to share with one in need, both physically and spiritually. Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but that which is helpful for building up the one in need and bringing grace to those who listen. That is where we value the life of God in our expression as well. It's a very important part, because a lot of people listen to what we say if they can't see what we do. And if the two don't match up, then there's a bit of a conflict going on, and they write you off. They do. Yeah, they have to match. Don't grieve the Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And that's where walking and overcoming and living and allowing God to change our lives through our laying down and through our putting off and through our surrendering and through our taking up what God tells us to take up, like the whole armor, etc. Get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, outcry, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and tender-hearted to one another, forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven us. Wow. It's a valued walk. It's a valued lifestyle. It's treasured. It's worthy of the life of the vocation where we're called. We sing songs, Thou art worthy. But he has made me holy, acceptable and righteous in the Beloved. Then Paul says, walk worthy of that. Put a value on it and express it. Hold that value. Wow. Sometimes I don't think we know what the value is of that, and we need to learn that. We need to understand it. And have a look at what he says in the early part of the chapter, in the first couple of verses back there, where he says, in getting into the first little bit of Ephesians, walk worthy in a manner worthy of the calling you have on your life. with all humility, gentleness, patience, forbearing one another in love, diligence to preserve the unity of spirit through the bond of peace. He talks about that's part of the value in the worthies. And then he says later on in the thing, get rid of things like bitterness, rage and anger and outcry, because they don't add to the worthiness. They don't add to the value. They detract from it. They take it away. It's like a house, you know. If you don't look after it, the value of that house might have been written up 5 years ago as one thing, and today you wonder why it's worth less. Although with today's society and the way things are going, that's very unlikely. But there are places that if you just go out a little bit out in the country region where they haven't been hit by the city craziness of prices, you can see two houses side by side. One's been looked after and preserved and valued, and it's so much more expensive than a similar house on a property next door that's been let run down and it's not painted and it's depleted and there's cracked windows and, you know, all that sort of thing. And the two side by side could have been worth the same money once, because that hasn't been valued, it hasn't been looked after. We need to value and look after what God has put in our life and put off the things we need to put off, lay them down and take up the things that God is encouraged. Paul has encouraged us to you through the word of God. What you value, you will protect. What you do not protect, you obviously don't value. What are the things we need to value and protect? Firstly, our life and relationship with God. Totally important. My next value, and I was taught priorities when I was, I've got to try and remember what they were. First was my relationship with God. Second was my family or marriage in my family. The third was my extended friends and family. The fourth was my job and my vocation. And the fifth was my ministry. And it was interesting when I was taught that, to don't put your ministry above any of the other priorities in your life, because it will kill them. Your ministry enhances the priorities and is a result of the priorities. And I went, wow, because I've known that to be totally different in some lives where someone gets into the ministry and their family's falling apart and other things are happening, and it's just sad because they're not valuing what they've got. So it's our relationship with God, your marriage, your family, your work, your family and friends, your work and your ministry. Put those into perspective as priorities. And that's exactly what I've started to put here. God, the marriage, extended family, church, friends and others, our vocation and our ministry, if it's there. But the ministry will not come to fruition fully if all that other is out of shoot, up the chute. It's got to be done God's way. We've got to have our conduct sorted in every area according to Ephesians 4. That whole chapter blew me away when I was looking for what you will value, you will protect. What is it that I need to value and protect? What is it in my life that I need to ensure has the capacity of God's value in it, and it's showing? And that chapter, God led me to Ephesians 4. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you've been called. Oh, Lord. And I started to see some of the things in there, and God spoke to me strongly on a couple of points, which are still, he's obviously been aware of and I haven't, or I haven't, I've ignored it, one or the other. But we really need to understand that. And so if our conduct is what every Ephesians 4 is, our expression of worth, showing, it's our expression of worth, showing who God is. I tell you what, if we have a worth value of God, if we have a treasured value of God in our life, the moment worship songs get up on there, and even like with the break we had there today in the singing, let your own expression of praise flow. Man, I can't help myself. I don't know about you, but you give me an opportunity to worship, and man, I got so much of God that I want to just tell him of how I appreciate him, how I value who he is, how I love his faithfulness. God, I'm so grateful for you and who you are, for your faithfulness, for your goodness, for your support, for your strength, for your peace. Lord God, you are the peace that passes all understanding. And I express who he has been in my life in so many ways. I can't help myself. I really can't. You can all just sit down and be quiet for it. I don't care. I'll stay up there and just go for it because I know that God wants me to value him, and in worship express that value of who he is in my life. I trust you got something out of that. We need an expression of worth and value that we can walk worthy of, which shows how much we treasure the God that we serve and who he is. Amen? Kesmo?